What's up, fam, and welcome back to Shots to the Dome. We have the incredible Dayla Loves Dumbbells back in the booth. What's up, babe?
Hey, babe.
We've gotten so much positive response over the podcast that the two of us have done. We've been talking about for a long time, hopping back on and talking about how we go about handling conflict in our relationship, because I think we do a pretty good job.
We're getting better every day.
That's the goal, right? Yeah. Not only in relationships, but in health and fitness, in life in general. We're always trying to improve upon what we're doing to have a more enjoyable experience. And when we were prepping for this podcast, Dayla and I were talking about how we've gotten better at managing conflict, not only from previous relationships, but in our own relationship. And so since y'all really loved episode 3 of Shots of the Dome, where Dayla and I talked about relationships, we wanted to go a little bit more in depth. And just so y'all know, and this is what I like to tell friends and family, it's not like we're being like, hey, you should check us out. Like, we're the greatest. This is what you have told us. Episode 3 was one of the most popular episodes of Shots of the Dome that we've ever had. And so we know that you guys find this valuable and we wanted to come back and expand on it. So to kind of kick things off, do we want to go into how we used to manage conflict?
Yeah, it's probably a good baseline.
So, babe, how do you go in the Wayback Machine? Do you remember how you used to handle conflict with the, between the two of us? And then I'll go into like how I handled it and we can go about how we fixed it.
Yeah. So my biggest issues my whole life, like not just in our conflict, in conflict with my mother, sister, past boyfriends, friends, is I had this really present theme of if I didn't think that I was wrong, if I thought that the other person was being like erratic or over exaggerating or over emotional, I was incapable of admitting any blame. And like, ooh, the words sorry would never pass my lips. I was always right. I would always argue my point. And quite honestly, I was pretty like manipulative, but it was born out of a defense mechanism of admitting fault. And of course, with that defense mechanism up and those walls sky fucking high during all conflict, there could be no reassurance. There could be no, I love you. There could be like no warmth, like no softness whatsoever. And if anything, it was very like, maybe we should take a break. Or like, you know, maybe we need some space. Like maybe we're not going to work out. And just those little like threatening, volatile jabs would come out of me. And I could be very fleeing. I was like, I was the girl who loved to grab her car keys and leave the house, hoping that her man's was freaking out, calling her, chasing her, and just very, very evasive as well.
What's super cool is Dayla's never done that to me. So I appreciate you never like grabbing the keys and bouncing. Do you think that was born out of your own perspective? Like you were saying that you always felt like you were right. You were making your arguments. Was it because like, you felt like you were failing to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and you were just like, this is my perspective, so I'm going to ride with this and like fuck everybody else.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I've learned about conflict in general is everybody's myopic and selfish in conflict, because we are so focused on and absorbed by our own pain points, our own triggers, our own PTSDs being exposed, our scabs being picked at, that you don't give a shit how the other person is feeling, thinking, needing, wanting, and you're just coming from a place of, I'm going to protect myself and argue my points, and I'm going to come out the victor here.
Gotcha. I think a lot of us can vibe with that, that it's challenging for us to put ourselves in someone else's shoes, see their perspective, and automatically assuming, incorrectly so, that ours is the only one that matters.
Well, and people come from a place of, you know, say you found yourself in conflict and that person thinks that you're wrong and you think that they are wrong. You're going to be like, fuck no, I'm not going to put myself in that person's shoes. They're being an idiot right now. They're being a dick right now. They need to apologize to me. So we also completely justify not putting ourselves in the other person's shoes. We immediately convince ourselves at the very moment that we have awareness about the conflict that we do not need to empathize with the other person at all or care about their feelings at all, because we are just completely self-absorbed with our experience.
And do you know where the, and I want to come back to that, but do you know where the wanting to leave and like grab the keys and go out and like be dramatic, is that like, where did that come from? Do you know? Because that's what people do, right? Like we see that in the movies and we see that in TV, and I think we're programmed to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think it's a little attention seeking. It's this interesting, like, I want to hurt you, but I'm so hurt that I want to be chased. So it's an interesting, like, it's an interesting duality of like a fear of being smothered and wanting to evade and like not be nice to the person, but then also just being so like volatilely emotional and hurt that I, at least I know growing up that I definitely like wanted to be chased, needed to be chased in order to feel safe in the relationship, because, you know, for whatever reason, I thought that there had to be like a massive dramaticism around conflict to feel like I could, you know, was actually loved.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of diametrically opposed to how, what I need like in the moment, because, and I'll go into how I used to handle conflict, but I have a fear of being alone, and I can go into more about why that is in a moment. But in conflict, I would always want Dayla or previous relationships to, you want to still be around me and like want to hug it out and like get through it and not have that distance and that break, so I could feel loved and being like, and feel safe, even though we were in conflict, saying something along the lines of, well, personally, this is still, I feel safe because this person's around me and they're, you know, maybe hugging me, or they're at least in the same room and like willing to talk this out. But moving into how I used to handle conflict, I used to yell a lot. I think a lot of what, and I would love to hear your take on this too, babe. A lot of how we handle conflict in a relationship is based on what we looked at as kids. Mm-hmm. And I know that in my household, I was an only child. My parents were a little bit older. They'd waited 15 years to have me after they got married, and they were great. They like never hit me. They, you know, never touched me inappropriately, but they would just yell at each other like crazy. Now as an adult, I can see why, you know, just a lot of stress trying to keep up with everything in Los Angeles, bills and stuff, which can be stressors for relationships, of course. And so I grew up because, and then when my parents would fight, they would tell me like, hey, this is normal. They'd be like, the next morning, you know, I'd be like in tears, like, oh fuck, I don't want my parents to leave each other, or like, what's going to happen to our family? And then the next morning they'd all be like seemingly more chill. And they'd tell me that that was normal in a relationship, and that families fought, parents fought, and that that's okay. And so I grew up thinking that was the norm. And so how I would approach conflict was I would yell and scream and get really, you know, outside of myself. And thankfully, by the time I met Dayla, I had done a better job at reeling that in. There are moments now where I might raise my voice and Dayla will catch it and be like, hey, can you not raise your voice? And like, thankfully, through the work that we've both done, I'm present enough to be like, okay, yeah, you're right. Like, I'll ratchet it down. But I've been able to not yell and scream a ton. Something else that I would do is, again, I think this is mainly just from being a guy, is the aggression, like outward aggression as far as like a physicality. And I'm not talking about like hitting one's partner, obviously never do that. But I would like slam my fist on a table, or like, you know, throw up something like a pillow, or like there were a couple times like in our early in our relationship, I'd be like, could I have a moment? And you'd be like, yeah. And I would just like hit the fuck out of some pillows to get like that aggression out. I don't know if that's like a male thing or whatever. I would sometimes hit myself. Also, this was kind of born out of swimming. I don't even know if I've even told you this. Getting ready for like a swim meet or something, I'd sometimes get in the bathroom, like locker room of a natatorium or a pool, and look in the mirror and like hit myself, to like slap myself to like get into it. And I think a lot of guys do that, especially with like football, baseball, basketball.
Well, yeah, and the guys hit each other.
Yeah, like physical, you know, that physicality of being a dude, when that might not be the best way to go about handling conflict, not only with other people, but also within ourselves. And so it was something that Dayla has been very helpful at helping me sort of unwind. And so that's how we'd like to sort of segue into how we were able to be better people in our relationship. Because of course, okay, so let's set the stage. You and I are coming into this relationship. Dayla is prone to Her perspective is 100% the true one. Fuck everybody else. Don't even want to think about it. And when it comes to road, when the rubber meets the road, I'm going to bounce. I'm going to grab my keys. Mm-hmm. See you later.
And no saying sorry ever.
No saying sorry ever. And then Sean coming in, yelling and screaming, potentially hitting himself and inanimate objects, and not wanting somebody to like leave. And that really would like rub me the wrong way. So that's sort of setting the stage. So how did you get that perspective? How did you not leave?
So I think where this was all born is you realize that it's not fucking working for you. And see, this is where I wish more people would, the light bulb would go off and like the flip would switch, or the switch would flip.
Yeah.
Because conflict sucks. You feel terrible after it. Both parties go away from it feeling betrayed, hurt. It lingers for days. The conflict lasts for days. I would have images in my head of Sean like visibly shaking and yelling and looking at me, but not looking at me, like rage eyes. And my partner was just gone. He wasn't in the room with me. Meanwhile, Sean has images of this woman that almost acts like she does not love him, doesn't give a fuck about his feelings, is not listening to him at all, and is trying to leave the apartment. And I think there was an instance where I had like car keys in hand and like Sean convinced me to not leave. But, you know, moral of that story is just trauma. We have all of these flashes and images of horrible trauma that we are causing, and this rift that we're creating in this relationship, and this lack of safety that we feel in our relationship because we can't keep our insecurities in check during conflict. We can't keep our defense mechanisms down in conflict. And so we sat down and had to have this conversation of the way you fight isn't working for us. The way I fight isn't working for us. And we are going to degrade the trust that we have here if we do not start to make a change and think about how we can do this differently, and that it was a two-way street. Mm-hmm. And we both had to agree to take a hard, hard, hard look at ourselves, like raise our hand, own our shit, and talk about what we would improve on.
There are a couple things that you said there, babe, that I really loved. One was that it's not fun. Like, it's not fun. Obviously, in a fight, it's not fun. Like, LOL, for sure, right, Sean? But it's not fun for the individual. Like, I can equate this to a fitness journey. We've all been there using food as an emotional salve where we're just not feeling it, or we have a stressful week, or we have an issue with a friend or family member or relationship, whatever it is, we'll turn to food to sort of fill that gap and to put that Band-Aid on the pain. But then guess what? You wake up the next day and not only is the pain still there, but now you're like, God damn it, I took down a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Or like, oh fuck, I rolled over and there's a whole pizza box empty. Like, what did I do? Proving that food isn't going to emotionally solve anything. But we have those same feelings the next morning. If I've gone off the handle and been frustrated, it's not only an unfortunate issue for Dayla to have to wake up to and to feel some type of way, but it's also unfortunate for me to wake up feeling frustrated, being like, wow, I wish I would have handled that a little bit better and a little bit differently. And so that's where Dayla and I are coming from with constantly trying to improve and get better every day. And it's something that, you know, I would wake up and be like, wow, I should have handled that better. I didn't handle it the best of my abilities. But then Dayla would also inform me like, hey, remember those crazy eyes? I know that you weren't looking at me. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but Dayla's always been like, I never have any fear that you're going to hit me. But when I was looking at you, it was like, that's not the person that I married. Mm-hmm. And so if I put myself in Dayla's shoes, again, putting my perspective in somebody else's eyes, I'm like, oh, wow, yeah. If I'm like visibly shaking and I have like red eyes and I'm staring off into the distance, that's not a fun experience for my wife, the woman that I love. In the same way, Dayla grabbing her car keys and heading for the door is not an enjoyable experience for me to watch her go.
And so not only is it not fun, but there's another interesting emotion that comes in the days after conflict: guilt, shame, embarrassment. So the conflict isn't fun and it sucks. The things that are said and visualized suck and are ingrained in your memory. And then when you can't handle yourself well, you can't even heal after the conflict, because you wake up the next morning and you're drowning in your own guilt, shame, beratement, embarrassment in front of your partner, which just validates more insecurity that is likely to rear its ugly head during the next conflict. So you take a look at this cycle and you're like, I deserve better than that in life. I can be better than that. My marriage, my relationship deserves better than that.
So what are a couple of things that helped you, you know, one, allow yourself to see someone else's perspective? We kind of gone through that, but like allowing yourself to apologize. And also, how did you get to the point where you weren't immediately running to the door?
So it was a work in progress. First of all, you know, every little conflict gets a little bit better and a little bit easier. And sometimes it's just baby steps. But the biggest realization that I had is that you think that saying sorry admits blame and then you lose the power. If you are the first to admit blame in conflict, you get the power. You not only own your shit, your integrity is on point. You are conducting yourself in such a way that you have now freed yourself of the guilt and shame and embarrassment the next morning because you are stepping up and you are showing up for your relationship. But also watch the reaction in your partner when you say, I see what you're saying there. I see your point and you're right. I could have handled that better.
Do you have an example? Do you remember an example of that? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
No,
I can help you out with one for me.
Yeah. Throw one out there.
So this is one, and I don't know if I've ever shared this with Dayla. So vulnerable moment alert. I need to get some sound effects for the podcast. That'd be cool. And this is one that I've actually shared with people. So like Dayla said, we think that we need to remain all high and mighty in a relationship or in a conflict rather in a relationship. And that's how we're going to win. When in fact, how one wins, quote unquote, and sidebar, we're not saying to keep score because that's detrimental to the relationship, but to ratchet down the energy and to get more on an even keel and coming from a calm place. Because we all know when we're mad, when we're seeing red, we really can't make thoughtful decisions. We can't make logical decisions. And so we have to calm our nervous system. We have to ratchet things down. And so like Dayla said, when one person in a relationship is like, you know what? Hey, sorry, my bad. Can we ratchet this down? She's right. It's immediate. You can see it in the other person. They relax visibly. It's like we're married. And so there was an example that I wanted to bring out. And it was one night, like I was getting high. We had had a long day and I just wanted to sit on the fucking couch and watch some TV. And so I like, turn on the TV. It's like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And Dayla asked me a question. I don't remember what the question is. And I answered it. So then a couple minutes passed. Dayla asked me the question again. I answer it. A couple minutes passed. Dayla asked me the same question again. And so now I'm getting kind of frustrated because it's been a long day, been a long week. I'm on the couch. I'm ready to fucking chill out. And I like was a little clipped with Dayla on the last answer. And I could see that Dayla then was visibly angry. And so I got up. She was like frustrated. And I was like, you know what? We're not going to get to the goal of like both of us relaxing. Cause like Dayla and I have the benefit of doing the same thing. We work together. So we know what the other person's life has been like. And so I'm like, oh shit, I know I want to take it easy. I know Dayla wants to take it easy. She's probably frustrated, stressed. So I put the TV on mute, got up off the couch, came over and like hugged you. And I was like, hey, I don't mean to rub you the wrong way, but the amazingly intelligent CEO that I'm married to typically does not ask me the same question three different times. And especially when I've given her the same answer three different times. So like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm here to help. And then Dayla opened up and she was like, well, I just don't feel like you're giving me the attention that I need, blah, blah, blah. And so basically me saying, hey, I'm here for you. My bad. I didn't mean to rub you the wrong way. Allowed a safe space for Dayla to tell me what was really going on. Because the question that she was asking me had nothing to do with how she was feeling. The fact of the matter was, it was probably a fucking Thursday or a Friday. We had had a long week. It's 9 o'clock. Dayla's stressed and we should have cuddled. And that's probably where we should have gotten to in our relationship at that time. But again, if I hadn't had like stopped and been like, hey, my bad, I'm sorry, I'm here for you, Dayla would not have opened up to me. I would have been like, I wouldn't have been able to say like, hey, like, I'm here for you. I hear you. I got you. Is there anything I can help you with? And 10 minutes later, we were both on the couch hanging out. Mm-hmm. And so that's one example of where we can say, you know, we're sorry and ratchet down the energy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good example. And, you know, even going back to the whole, like the other person visibly relaxing, whenever everybody comes away from conflict, you can very easily verbalize what you want your partner to do differently. Right. You're very aware of everything that your partner does that pisses you off, but it's more challenging to admit or to even discover what you can do differently. And what I realized is, I was the first one, I believe in history to, in our history, to start to play the apology game. And actually, my like business mentor, life coach, Hannah Deindorfer, was the first person to help us realize that Sean's core fear was to be left alone and that mine was fear of being smothering. And she said to me, you need to be the hero and you need to say sorry and you need to be the one to ratchet down first and bring the comfort and the reassurance that Sean needs to stay ratcheted down. And so I had to say, I'm willing to fall on the sword for my relationship a little bit because it's easy for me to do now. That first day that Hannah told me that, no. Absolutely no fucking part of me. I was like, that motherfucker is not getting an apology from me when he pisses me off and he treats me poorly. But a lot of the thoughts going through my mind were, these fights are ruining me. They're ruining days. They're ruining weeks. I won't let them ruin my marriage. And so I agreed to implement it. Again, you like to bring the parallels to a fitness journey. And it's very like, the way that I'm fucking living isn't working for me. So let me try tracking my macros because the way that I'm doing it makes me feel like shit. Mm-hmm. And so the next time that we were in conflict, you know, being the one to say like, hey, you're right. And I want to apologize for what I did there. Watching Sean go from like rage, crazy eyes to literally relaxing his shoulders, slumping. I could see the safety. I could see that he fell into his safety net, like knowing that I wasn't going to go anywhere. And then guess what? The more I came with reassurance and just like, hey, I love you. I'm not going to leave you. Because guess what? Those things are true. Even if you don't feel like saying them in conflict, if you love your partner, they're true. So fucking say them. Get your ego out of the way and fucking say them. I got Sean to then stay on my level. And I got to go to him with like, hey, I'm going to work on owning the parts of conflict that I'm responsible for and reassuring you. And I need you to not hit the counter. Like I need you to not yell and I need you to avoid crazy eyes. But by me taking the first step and giving something, I got to ask for what I wanted. And the more ownership that I took, he stopped hitting things. The more, you know, reassurance that I gave, I haven't seen, you know, what I would call crazy eyes in maybe a year. It's gone. It's just a thing of our past.
Well, and if you're picking up what Dale's putting down, a lot of it is communication, being willing and open to talk about these things with your partner, not really in the moment. You know, like Dale was saying, we talked to our friend Hannah, who is a life coach. And so we got her take on it. What was interesting about those moments is I had always loved how Dale would respect me calling that timeout, quote unquote. I never really called it a timeout. Yes, you know me. I love the NBA and I love basketball. And I would call like a 20-second timeout. If you know what that looks like, I would literally do that in the room, but I never called it a timeout. And what I loved about Dale is she would honor that. So I'd be like, hey, can we just take a second? Like, I love you. You love me. I'm not going anywhere. Can we like talk about this? And then Dale would ratchet down visibly. What helped talking with Hannah was now Dale saw that she could also do those things. And so if I was going off the handle, Dale could bring it back around and be like, hey, can we ratchet this down? I love you. Da, da, da. So now we have both team members knowing the tools that they can use to help the other one out when the other person is like too much in their own little fucking bubble to make those adjustments. And then the last thing I wanted to say is having the ability to then edit it after the fact. So for instance, one example would be early on when Dale started calling the timeouts, I wasn't used to it. And so Dale would call a timeout and I would just fucking run through that timeout and I'd be like, bullshit, you were out of timeouts. We're, you know, it's deep in the fourth quarter, like fuck this. And then I would see Dayla getting emotional and she'd be like, yo, like, I'm trying to ratchet this down. Like, this is how you do it. Like, come on, you got to respect me. You got to do this. So of course I'm now seeing like, because like anytime we get upset and then like Dayla starts to cry, I'm like, hey, my bad. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, let's ratchet down. And so of course I saw Dayla get emotional and I was like, oh fuck, like she's right. I'm not respecting the timeout. Like, she's been so great to help me out. And so now I need to help her out. And so a big one is that communication, the willingness to work with your partner. And I know a big favorite of ours is we say awareness precedes change. So being aware of these things that we can change and then having the strength to do it, you know, having the courage to change how you do
things. Having the courage to leave your ego. And quite frankly, like, I know I'm a little bit of like a hard ass and it's like my philosophy in life, being willing to work on shit. If you work on something, it will get better, period. Most people that have like horrible conflict resolution aren't willing to have those conversations. And they just want to complain about why conflict is terrible. And they just think that they're just going to go through life with conflict happening to them, ruining them, validating insecurities, validating shitty stories, and then just complaining about all other people and projecting onto all other people that bring conflict into their perfect reality. And it's ugly. It's ugly and it takes constant work. I can't even tell you nor count the endless hours and journaling and agreements that Sean and I have written out and, like, you know, quote unquote deals that we have made and the things that we have admitted to each other and agreed to promise each other. And we've been together for 4.5 years now. And we didn't really, I mean, well, we didn't fight for around the first year and a half because honeymoon phase, but then year and a half to even 4 year mark, pretty fucking rough. Pretty fucking rough. And people talk about that third year of marriage being the hardest. And oof, did we have some like all out brawls? And it's taken years to get to this point. But it's the question of like, are you going to be the kind of person that's willing to work on yourself for, even if it takes months and a couple years, to develop skills to have appropriate coping mechanisms and conflict resolution skills for the rest of your fucking life? Because I can tell you, as someone that's experiencing this, even now, still to this day, I would put in the last, you know, 2.5 years over and over and over and over and over again, knowing that Sean and I are probably going to be able to only continue getting better now until we're fucking 80 or 90.
And I would even say that the brawls, quote unquote, that Dayla's talking about, like, I wouldn't even describe them that way personally, because based on how I used to do things in previous relationships, if that was 100%, in my opinion, my perspective, Dayla and I have only ever gotten to maybe 40 or 50%. That's a big reason for that, rather, is who we both are. And we're both willing to work at it. And we both truly love each other. And for me, it was working on these things with previous relationships and learning that a lot of those things, that how I had done things previously was not going to work in this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. The quote came to mind of the, you are what you repeatedly do. And, I love all of the, I think, therefore I am. And it's like, if you want something to get better, repeatedly work on it and it just will happen. It is a near guarantee, but so many people just aren't willing to do that. They aren't willing to, you know, develop a healthier lifestyle. They aren't willing to maybe change their habits with their finances. They aren't willing to focus on their communication skills because they don't want to do the work.
So Dayla pulled up this cute little infographic that she sent to me as well. And this is something else that you can use to get better, not only in your relationships, but in your personal life. Having notes that you can look at, having little pieces of inspiration that you can look at. So Dayla helped me out the other day because I was having my own like personal, you know, mind fuckery unrelated to our relationship. And Dayla was like, I'm going to send you something that I look at when I need to sort of like recenter myself or realign, to use a buzzword. And so of course, Dayla's an amazing plant mom and has this like beautiful cactusy, like I'm like in a portal of Southwestern tourism as I read this, but it says, you are what you repeatedly do. And you are what you repeatedly think. And so Dayla keeps this in her phone to remind herself in those moments that she has complete control over her own perspective and how she's going to go about doing things. Kind of using that as a segue, we had talked about how Dayla's core fear is being smothered. My core fear is being alone. And so, Dayla, I'd love for you to go into how you were able to remedy not leaving and not leaving for long periods of time. So, for instance, we've gotten good at this. So when we're in conflict, I want Dayla to hang out and give me a hug and like not go anywhere. And Dayla wants to peace out and like be alone for a little bit. So how did we go about reconciling this? There's been a couple instances where we've done really, really well where Dayla has been like, I need a minute. And Sean, as me, my core fear of being alone, I have an opportunity to practice this and to help us as a relationship and as a couple. So I'm like, okay, I, Sean, who am fearful of what I'm about to do, am going to stay here and my wife is going to go somewhere else. And I'm like, I'm, Sean, going to be okay with that. And in those moments, Dayla's been great as she's only gone maybe max like 5 minutes. And then she comes back and she's like, all right, cool, let's talk about this. So how did you get to the point where you were like, I'm going to create an environment, an ecosystem where I don't feel smothered, but at the same time, I recognize what he needs?
Well, I'm actually going to use another piece of wisdom from Hannah Dyndorfer, because she told me that you have to reward. She just was like, you have to keep in mind too, you have to reward behavior that is like on the trajectory to where you want it. So Sean and I came up with an agreement that if I needed to, like, I need to breathe sometimes in conflict. And if you give me even 5 to 10 minutes, like, I can ratchet myself down very, very easily, like some good self-control there. But I have to be able to be left alone, which is against Sean's core fear. So as opposed to me like leaving the apartment or anything, I asked him after conflict once when we were talking, I was like, may I have permission to ask for 10 minutes? And is that okay with you during the next conflict? So again, that like debriefing is so crucial, because then in a safe space, you can ask permission for maybe like a piece of what you think you're going to need in the next conflict to be able to be a better partner. And so Sean said yes. The next time that we were in conflict, I asked for 10 minutes, didn't say I'm taking my fucking 10 minutes and storm out. I asked for 10 minutes. He begrudgingly made eye contact with me and said yes. I could tell that he didn't want to say yes, but he said yes because he made a commitment to me that he would allow it. I went to the other side of the apartment. I just went into the bathroom. I took a couple deep breaths. And within 5 minutes, I thought, I am so thankful that Sean did this for me. I have so much gratitude in this moment that Sean let me have my 5 minutes that I needed. I'm going to make sure that I reward this behavior. And I'm going to go, you know, quote unquote, save him from being alone shorter even than 10 minutes. And I immediately like went back into the room where he was. And I was like, thank you so much for letting me have that, have those 10 minutes. And then he had the biggest sigh of relief because I had taken less than that. And I came back earlier.
Yeah. And that you'd come back at all. That was, yeah. Cause I know, I'm sure some of y'all listening, you have those moments where your ex storms out or your current relationship partner storms out and you're like, I don't know where the fuck they went. Like, I don't know when they're coming back. Like, now there's all this doubt and other things that aren't going to be conducive to fixing the problem. And so Dayla was basically rewarding my action, I guess, or like my allowance, my being like, okay, cool. Like, I'm fine with you walking away for a little bit. I'm going to sit here and like be uncomfortable and trust that you're going to come back. And we got a rep in. So like, yay, another fitness analogy, but like that was a rep. So like Dayla and I had talked about this. We had worked on it and we got a rep. And it proved right that like Sean could let Dayla walk away for a little bit and Dayla wouldn't completely leave Sean out in the cold and come back. So we were like, oh shit, it worked. And we were able to manage that conflict really, really easily.
And it snowballs. That was like, that was one of the primary examples in our relationship. And that was months ago. And I can tell you now that just when you feel safer in conflict, you are not erratic. You're just not. When you feel safe with the person that you're in the room with, you, all of that egotistical insecurity, bullshit, attacking dagger stuff just goes away. And I can tell you now, I don't even take 5 to 10 minutes anymore. I don't need it. I don't need it. Like, I don't have a fear of Sean smothering me. It's just, it's gone. And Sean never ever again gets crazy eyes, never gets fearful of me leaving him. Neither one of us has to like evade or even really implement coping mechanisms anymore, because we were willing to, you know, make all these agreements and promises and then put them into action. And then we would debrief after every single conflict. And now, being honest, we can resolve conflict in the same tone that this podcast is being recorded in. And this is how we speak to each other when we resolve conflict, because all of the bullshit is out of the room. The I'm trying to hurt you, you're trying to hurt me, my ego, don't leave me, you just picked my scab. All of that's gone. He holds me safely and I hold him safely. And when you just create safety in conflict, all that bullshit fades to the background and you can just talk about the little, the often little disagreement that you're even in.
Yeah. And so many of them are little bullshit disagreements. And that's a big reason why, like, neither Dalen nor I can remember a lot of our conflicts, because it's about stupid shit. There was actually one the other day that was stupid shit. Can't even remember what it was about, but Dayla was getting like obviously affected by it, and whatever was going on, I was sort of like nonplussed by it at the time. And we were going to go to the gym, and Dayla was like, you know what? I don't feel like going to the gym anymore. And I could tell that it was because she was like angry with me. And so, and again, this is where we're talking about communication.
Let me share my perspective of what you said. Cause I was, it was a very, like, I was very proud of you moment and like impressed by you moment. And I want to like shout you out. Because yeah, I was luteal phase fucking fussed. So fucking fussed. And Sean just like, it was just a me thing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I was in like the sourest mood. And Sean and I were getting ready for the gym, and I was standing there and I was just like, I don't know if I want to go to the gym anymore, which is interesting because that's like a little bit of my old dramaticism and being like, I don't know if I want to go anymore, and like being chased. And I like looked over at Sean to see what his reaction would be. And he said to me, he was like, I'm not sure what's going on right now, but let me know what you need from me emotionally, because I feel as though what you're talking about and what's really going on with you are like different things. And I feel as though what's happening right now isn't enough to be like eliciting this emotional response from you.
I even added that I was, because I didn't know where it was coming from. Like Dayla said, I could tell that she was frustrated and fussed. And like, even though I'm a coach who coaches a ton of females and I'm probably very well versed with monthly cycles compared to the other guy off the street, I still don't know what it feels like. So I didn't know what Dayla was going through. And when she was like, I'm not going to go to the gym, what came up for me was I wanted to go crazy eyes. I wanted to hit something, because I was like, I don't fucking understand this. Like, it's not fair. Like, why is my wife mad at me? Like, I didn't do anything. But instead of doing those old patterns, that old programming, I instead told Dayla what she said, like, hey, like, seems like something's going on here that I don't really understand. And I also told you, I was like, I'm having a lot of the frustration come up where like, I want to hit things and stuff, but I was like, I don't feel like this is an instance where like that's relevant. And so like, can you help me understand? And like, I would love to go to the gym with you. And to your credit, Dayla very quickly was like, yeah, you're right. This reaction is a little bit too dramatic. Let's just go to the gym. Like, I'm in my luteal phase. We're good.
Yeah. And it's just having the humility to, like as soon as Sean said it, actually, I just like walked up over to him and hugged him. And then I said like, hey, you're right. That was really mature of you. Let's go to the gym. And so you also like, when you are being that partner, when you are the one that's kind of stirring up shit and the other partner is being super cool, calm and collected and mature, and they're using all of the tools and agreements that you made to do conflict perfectly, I had to look at myself and be like, fuck, Sean's doing it. I'm not. Like, we're not even 50-50 right now. We're not even remotely 50-50. I'm starting shit. And he is using all of the tools that we agreed on to resolve conflict. And you have to be willing to say, you right, my bad, and admit that. And even that admittance is, again, so difficult for people. If you become aware that you're the only person fucking up in that moment. Because Sean didn't have anything to apologize to me for. It was totally a me thing. But we literally walked out of the house 2 seconds later and we went and crushed a workout and we haven't talked about it since until this moment now on the podcast.
Yeah. So you're welcome, everybody. But I like something that you mentioned, babe, that these things don't go away. So like what we're talking about, we just get better at handling those feelings, but we can still feel them. Like Dayla said, in that instance, the story that we just relayed, Dayla felt some type of way, but we'd worked on it to such a capacity that I wasn't going to immediately blow up. And I was going to kind of try to understand and diffuse whatever was going on. And Dayla was like, wow, I'm self-aware. We've been practicing. Yeah, you're right. Let's go crush a workout. Fuck yeah. In those moments when Dayla and I, like you were describing months ago, where you were like, I need a minute and left. I'm not like rainbow and butterflies in my stomach or in my body. I'm like, oh shit. Like, I don't want to get left and I don't want to be left alone. Like, that's still a fear of mine, but I'm becoming more aware of it. And I can use those feelings as a trigger for how to remedy the situation or how do I want to go about living my life. And so like in that moment, I have that same anxiety. I get the tightness in my chest and those voices in my head are like, here we go again, Sean, like you're going to be alone. Da, 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 da. But I've had so much practice myself and working with Dayla that in that moment I could be like, time out to myself, not to like, this is all internal, Sean's internal monologue, be like, time out. Is this true? Am I going to be left alone? Like, have my parents ever left me alone? No. Has Dayla ever like left me? No. And so then I can tell myself in the moment, like, okay, is what I'm feeling true? Or is it based on past trauma that I have that I'm currently working through? And again, the breath, like you'd mentioned that, like taking the deep breath really calms everybody down, calms your nervous system down. Then you're able to approach it from a logical and an intelligent space to say like, okay, yeah, this is trauma coming up for me. It's not true. I'm going to let Dayla go. And she's probably going to be back in a few minutes. And like Dayla said, she was back quicker than I expected.
Yeah. So summing this all up, I think what would be helpful is like, what's the first step? If you're listening to all this and you're just like almost even like more confused about how you could integrate this, I think the very first step is to sit down and have a conversation with your partner or whoever it is that you are in conflict with frequently, outside of conflict, obviously, and talk about things that you want to do better yourself. And the caveat here is, especially during the first few conversations, you are not allowed to talk about what your partner should do better for you. This really starts with you. And you have to have a willing partner that's willing to say, this starts with me too. And if you have two people that are ready to take that first step of ownership, you come together and you each talk about what you are going to improve upon and not project. And then you come up with your action steps and you come up with the tools that you are prepared to utilize during the next conflict. And then kind of just wait. You play that waiting game. You try the tools out in the next conflict. If they work, great. If you totally botch it, that's okay too. Get through the conflict and then debrief, and you're going to adjust that plan, come up with new ideas, come up with new tools, and you're going to try to do better the next time.
You know, I'm going to say this, I'm going to make a sports analogy with this, but it's something that just came up for me. So if you're a woman listening to this and you want your dude to listen to it, just zoom ahead to this right now and they may understand it a little bit better, but it's just like sports. If anyone plays basketball or football, those are two sports that are predicated upon coming up with plays to sort of like to reach success, to like get past the defense. If you're the defense, it's to like stop the offense. My point being, you play a game, and in the professional ranks and a lot of times in college, they film that game. So you play the game, and then afterwards, when you're outside of the game, outside of conflict, outside of the increased tension, when you're relaxed, chilling, lounging in a chair, then they watch the film. And they go through and be like, oh, that play didn't work so great. We need to work on that. And they're not judgmental. It's like, hey, point guard, you need to come over here on this. Like power forward, you need to hedge on the screen to get better. You need to do this. Talk to each other. Da, 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 da. Okay, let's try to be better the next time we do this. Same thing with like if you're playing football or something. It's like, okay, the route wasn't run as well as it could have. Let's work on that in practice. When we're not in a game, when the tension isn't so high, let's get really better at that. And then when we have another game, we get another opportunity to test it out. What's different about our relationship versus sports is you don't know when the game's coming. You don't know when you have a next game.
Yeah.
But you've done the film session, again, in a recliner, on a couch, having some coffee, out of breakfast, whatever, when it's really calmed down, and you go about working through these things, maybe even writing some things down. Also, taking your ego out of it. Like, I remember once we had a conflict come up a few times, and Dayla was like, I'm going to write this shit down because I want to get better at this. And like we've proven in fitness, in our business, in life, we can get better at this if we like write things down and start to work towards it. And I had a fear at first because I was like, oh shit, like she writes this down, like it's a real problem. But then I thought, well, if we can fix this, then we can fix our relationship. We'll have a more enjoyable experience. And so that's where we're coming from with almost treating a relationship like sports or, you know, insert other analogy, where you can make those adjustments outside of conflict. And then when the game, quote unquote, or that conflict arises again, you're able to practice those things that you worked on.
No, I mean, the sports analogy is amazing and you're doing it for the better of the team, right? If the point guard gets, you know, if they note during the video, during watching the video that he could improve upon something and he decides to scream and yell and leave the room because he's fucking perfect and doesn't have anything to work on, guess what? The whole team suffers.
Oh my God. That's an amazing analogy. I appreciate that. And also, by the way, Dayla has watched NBA basketball for me and has like knows a lot. She knows way more. She can call it when they whistle, Dayla knows why they whistled. So she's amazingly good at basketball. But yeah, you bring up a great point. Like I've played pickup games or intramural or leagues with guys who played at a higher level than me. And I've been told like, if you follow basketball, you got to hedge on the screen. I wasn't really good at hedging on the screen. And I had a guy who literally played against Kobe Bryant in high school, who I like looked up to and admired. And he's the shout out to Matt Geschke. He's the number two scorer all times at Johns Hopkins. And he like grabbed my jersey and pulled me aside. He was like, you got to fucking hedge. And I was like, okay. And I wasn't pissed. And like Dayla said, I didn't storm off the court crying like a child, like throwing my shoes. But I was like, all right, I'm going to hedge better on the next one. And so then like the next, you get another opportunity. It comes back like that. It's life. We're going to have way more opportunities to try these things. And I hedged like a motherfucker on that screen. And then after the game, I was like, hey, Matt, was that better? He was like, yeah, you're getting there. It's like, all right, cool. Like, I'll keep doing that. And that's what we kind of need to do in a relationship.
Yeah.
I love this.
So basically, all relationships are basketball, and that's the way we need to think about things.
Yes.
Sean's dream come true.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, I obviously use basketball for a lot, but, and this is kind of a, I want to tease like a future relationship episode with this, but Dayla and I have done a good job at kind of bouncing back and forth with responsibilities in our business, in our household, in our relationship, and how we've been okay with that. And as much as of a Kobe Bryant fan as I am, I don't use the Kobe and Shaq Lakers as an example of how to work best in a relationship. In fact, I use the LeBron James D Wade relationship when they were on the Heat because they were both all-stars, Hall of Famers, and one said, hey, you know, D Wade said, hey, LeBron, you out and get it. And I'm going to support you however I can. So if you have an off night, I got you. If you're having a great night, I'm going to give you the ball. I'm going to do those other things. And that's just for a future episode where Sean will again equate basketball to relationships.
Looking forward to it.
So that was good, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty solid.
Awesome. Well, hopefully y'all thought it was solid as well. Please let us know what you think of this episode. And if you have any other topics that you'd like us to touch on, please DM us. If you're listening to this and you loved it, please share it. We'd love to get more people listening to Shots to the Dome. And we're really looking forward to future episodes together.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Thanks, babe.
Love you, babe.
Love you too.